Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I've got to tell you, this is a joy and a blessing and an honor and privilege and humbling to stand before you and share this word that God put on my heart to speak to his church. This is a word for the church. I'm going to pray before we start. Lord, we thank you for your presence here. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the Spirit of truth.
Yes.
And we ask, Holy Spirit, that today that you would open our ears, to give us ears to hear what you have to say to the church. We ask that you would open our hearts, that we would receive your word today and everything that you have for us. Lord, we thank you for these amazing declarations that we've made in song, that you are faithful,
yes.
That you are able,
yes.
That you are anchor,
yes.
That you are a rock, that you will never, ever let us down, and you will never let us go. And so now, Lord, as we get into your word, Lord, we thank you that it confirms what we have just declared out of our mouth, Lord. And so, Lord, with joy, we thank you and receive your word today and your blessings and just the awesomeness of you and everything that you have already done for us. And the awesomeness that we can be together today, the Church of Jesus Christ, lifting you up. Praising you,
yes.
Thanking you. Oh, yes. Lord, what a joy you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, so you can turn to your Bibles to Hebrews 6. And what we're going to do today is go quickly through the first 8 verses. Okay, because there's just some things that the Lord wants to highlight, okay? And then spend a little bit more time in verses 9 to 17. But I want to really get into a little deeper into verses 18 to 20. And verse 19 is up there. It's a beautiful picture. Thank you, Jocelyn. Okay, so if you're in Hebrews 6, that's where we're going to spend most of the time. I want to start off and read, and you don't need to turn to it, but I want to start off and read Hebrews 10:25, which says, "Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." And this is a word for the church, all the more. All the more we need to gather. All the more we need to encourage one another. All the more we need to be in the Word. Because from two sermons ago that Pastor Mike preached, and the sermon was called Hold Fast, and really today I just want to spend more time with you in this Word, but from the letter of to the Hebrews specifically. Because in that sermon, what Pastor Mike had God put on his heart to say is that both Jews and Christians are God's chosen people and are under attack in this season, right? So all the more we need to hold fast, right? All the more we need to hold fast to the word, the truth of the gospel, to the confession of our hope and our faith in Christ and in his return. Jesus is coming back. Anyways, we're going to just keep going and focus. So God had put on Pastor Mike's heart to share that we need to hold on to the confession of our hope and our faith in Christ and his return. Because the truth is, in the word, he's coming back. And he's coming back for a holy bride, and he is going to establish his everlasting kingdom. Okay, so I am so excited about this word. And I want to really encourage you to read the book of Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews. It's an amazing letter. okay? And as my friend and sister, Fatima, said to me a few times in the last couple of weeks, okay, this is to get you stirred up. This is to get you passionate about the Word and what the Lord is saying in His Word, so that you can take what the Lord has put on my heart to share today and get into the Word yourselves and build on it and read it. Okay, so this is what this is about. And just to really get you excited and stir you up about the letter to the Hebrews, it is all about Jesus. It is all about the superiority of Jesus. It's all about His person and His character, and that He Himself and His works are better than anything. Better than Judaism, better than the world, better than anything, okay, that anyone or anything has to offer. Okay, when you read Hebrews 11, and you should do it every once in a while, because when you read Hebrews 11, your faith builds, because it's all about the victories and the blessings of those heroes of faith, they call them, who held on in faith. They put their faith in the Lord. They put their faith and trust in His promises and who He was, and they were able to persevere and endure through great trials and sufferings and persecution. And this is why even more, all the more, we need this Word. We need the Word. We need to hold fast. Okay. And also in the book of Hebrews, when you read it, you will see there's repetitive words. One is better, better, always referring to Christ. Christ is better. Everything that He's done for us already is better. Everything about Him is better, right? Yeah. And then there's teaching and practical counsel through the whole book, through the whole letter. There's teaching and practical counsel, and then there's warnings in the book of Hebrews. Now, these are warnings, okay, because the letter, which does apply to us, but originally it was written to Jewish believers who were going through persecution. And because in their minds, they thought Jesus was returning soon, and so they thought that His return was being delayed, okay, which is not true. They were getting discouraged, and they were starting to doubt whether their choice to choosing to following Jesus maybe wasn't the greatest choice. So this letter was written to them, but it's also written to us, okay? And so, and you know, the writer of Hebrews, and this is what God has really put on my heart, and I pray that it will get imparted to you, right? This hope and passion. Okay, it's an encouraging letter. Hebrews 6 is encouraging. It's an encouraging chapter in the letter to the Hebrews. And it encourages us. It encourages us to persevere. It encourages us to press on. It encourages us to take hold, to be passionate about maturing in Christ, to be passionate about pursuing holiness. There's no passivity here. There's no complacency here. There's no tolerance here. There's no compromise. And this is the biggest message, if you get nothing else. God enables it. It has nothing to do with us. Okay? God enables it. Enables all of this to happen. So, okay. So, very quickly, I'm not going to read the scriptures, but I just want to highlight some things from Hebrews 5:11 to 6:8, okay? Because in here, there's some really key points to the church. And basically, it starts off, and the writer of Hebrews, he talks about baby Christians, okay, and he talks about mature Christians, okay, and like at the very beginning of it, there's like a warning against becoming dull of hearing, okay, and what he's basically saying in that part is that new Christians, baby Christians, need to learn how to use and practice the basic principles about Jesus, so that they can discern between good and evil. They can learn how to do that and grow spiritually and morally into maturity. Okay, it talks about how mature Christians have done this. So they have taken the word and they have practiced it. They have put it into practice in their life, and so have grown in the Lord. He talks about the letter of Hebrews. He talks about in the first few verses of chapter 6. He mentions about the elementary teachings about Christ, which are repentance from dead works and a faith towards God. Of instruction about washings, and some versions say baptisms, and laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. So these are the elementary teachings about Jesus. And they were used to teach people, new Jewish believers, about Christ. And so, but then it says, and this we will do. Do what? Press on to maturity, not laying the foundation again, going over and over, but building on the truth, on the word of what we know about Christ. And that's kind of a declaration that we can make. And this we will do. We will leave the elementary teaching about Christ behind and press on, learn how to apply and practice the word, so we can press on to maturity, not laying the foundation again, but being building on the foundation. Okay, I don't know if you get this, but this is discipleship. This is discipleship. And this is why it's so important, why discipleship is so important. Jesus said in Matthew 28, teach them to obey everything I've commanded them. Teach them how to use, apply to their life, obey the word of God. So discipleship is very important. And that's pretty much that's the key message from these verses. Then he goes on, the writer of the letter of Hebrews, he taught it in verses 4 to 6, which I'm not going to get into in detail, but basically he is referring to apostates, people who have deliberately chosen and made a decision to abandon the Christian faith. They've completely denounced Christ. That's not us. That's not what I want to focus on today, but you can go into it more your own self. Then Hebrews 6, 7 to 8. I don't know if you remember, but back in July, Pastor Mike preached a sermon called Rocks Out, Roots In. And he talked about from the different soils and the ground, and he really encouraged us to ask Holy Spirit to show us what were the rocks in our hearts that was getting in the way of fully being able to receive the word of God and the words that God has for us, and therefore being able to fully serve him and follow him and fulfill the calling that he has on our lives. So hopefully you did that, and if not, you can go back and you can listen to the sermon and ask Holy Spirit to show you, because this is really what this is the writer of the letter of Hebrews is talking about in verses 7 to 8. The ground's our heart, and really, we desire that our hearts receive the word, and that we don't only receive the word, that we're able to do something with the word, that we learn how to use it, that we practice it, that we pursue maturity and holiness, and that produces growth and life. There's a warning in there, in those verses, that you can be like a field, that gets a lot of rain coming down, but it brings up thorns and thistles. It doesn't produce fruit. It doesn't produce life. And if that's the case, then it's again asking Holy Spirit, show you why is that? Why is that? What is happening? What's in your heart? What's in the way? Okay. How are we doing? Okay. So now, we want to move on. And if you look in your Bibles at verse 9 of Hebrews 6, okay, and he starts off and he says, but beloved. Okay, so we just finished talking about all these warnings and exhortations, which are strong encouragement, right? And then he says in verse 9, but beloved. Okay, and if you remember the sermon from a couple of weeks ago, from Psalm 4, or Psalm 4, verse 3, okay, it uses the word godly, which means beloved. So, but beloved, so as I'm speaking to you, the Lord is speaking to you, but beloved, but godly ones, okay, we are convinced, I am convinced. Okay, let's remember the one another's. Let's have this heart. Let's think of one another like this. Let's pray for one another like this. We are convinced of better things concerning you. Things that accompany salvation. So the writer says, even though we talk like this, talk about the, you know, all the warnings and apostasy and, okay, we're convinced, okay, that that's not you, okay? That God is going to keep you from apostasy. He's going to keep you from not progressing and not producing fruit. There's better things that accompany salvation. Okay, that word convinced means confident, trusting. Okay, now, it's not trusting in ourselves, not trusting in you, trusting in God. God is going to do it in you. Mm-hmm. God is able. God has already done it, actually. Mm-hmm. So we're convinced, okay, that there are better things that belong to salvation, which means that accompany salvation, mm-hmm, that possess salvation. And those things are really generalized and very general in the next verse, in verse 10. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. Okay? That really stood out for me. Okay? Still ministering. So the work, okay, and the love that you have done for the glory of Christ, okay, and done for and to his saints for the sake of Jesus, God sees and he remembers your obedience. He remembers your obedience to what? These are just things that God put on my heart. Obedience to the commands of Christ, which if you don't know what they are, some of them up there, okay? To the commands of Christ and to the one another's. The one another's. Okay? So God sees this. He remembers these things. And this is the past, the present, and the future fruit that is being produced in you because of Jesus. Right? Not for salvation. I think you all know this. This isn't, a lot of this isn't milk. Okay, it's me. So you should already know, okay, that we're saved by grace through faith and not by works. Amen. This isn't a works thing. This is nothing. We can't do this.
That's right.
Okay, this is because we are saved. This is because what Jesus has done. Mm-hmm. I mean, James talks about it.
Yeah.
Right? True faith is displayed in the works. Okay? Not the other way around. Okay, so what I want to do, okay, instead of reading and expounding on the next verses, I actually want to pray. I want to pray these verses. I want to pray for the Church of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would put this word, this prayer into our hearts. And I just want to say that I desire, and that we desire for one another, that we would set our heart upon, that we would eagerly long for each other. So I desire that each one of you here, each one who belongs to Jesus, would have a diligence, an earnestness, an enthusiasm, an eagerness to realize the hope, the full assurance, the full realization of the hope that is in you alone, Lord Jesus. Because hope is in Christ alone. Our hope is in you, Lord Jesus, alone. Our hope rests on who you are and rests on your promises. And all your promises are yes and amen. Particularly to the hope pertaining to your return, Lord Jesus. And that we would have this diligence and this hope to the very end.
Yes.
These are the things, Lord, that will guard us, will guard your church against being sluggish, against being lazy and dull and complacent. That right until the end, right until you return or our last breath, that we would have this eagerness to pursue you and want to know you and you alone. And Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for all of the heroes of the faith that we can read about in the scriptures. But Lord, even more so, Lord, we hear testimonies about what you are doing in us and through us. And Lord, would we share those and get excited about them? Have joy in you and be celebrating you and praising you because of what you are doing in us and through us in your church. And I just declare and pray all these things in the name of Jesus. At the very end of verse 12, it says, "Imitators, be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise." And remember, Hebrews 11:1 is the definition, really, of faith. Now, faith is the assurance of the things hoped for, the conviction. Conviction, you get that word? Conviction of things not seen. Remember that in 2 Corinthians 5:7 it says that we walk by faith, not by sight. But one day, this is the hope. This is the hope. One day, faith will become sight.
Amen.
And we will see Jesus face to face. Now listen, when you go through things, and when you're going to be going through things that probably are going to be even more difficult, these are the things that we need to hold on to. Amen. These are the truths. Jesus is coming back. We're going to see him face to face. Amen. We can hold on and hold fast and persevere and press on because of him. Uh-huh. And you know, that word patience is macrothumia. This is the patience that we have when we have Holy Spirit. Fruit of Holy Spirit, patience. Macrothumia. It means endurance. Okay, it means constancy. It means steadfastness. Okay, it means perseverance, especially under trials and when we're going through troubles or ill treatment. I'm just going to read this because it's amazing when you just, I love to take the words and get highlighted and look into the Hebrew or the Greek and go deep into them, and then you just, it's awesome. It describes the capacity to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances, not with a passive complacency, but with a hopeful fortitude that actively resists weariness and defeat.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
Can you say that again?
I will. It describes the capacity to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances, not with a passive complacency, not with, oh well, that's just the way it is, but with a hopeful fortitude that actively resists weariness and defeat. Now, who are we putting our hope in? Christ, in Christ alone, and his promises, and who he is, and what he says to us, his church. Right? Now, the next few verses talk about God and his faithfulness, and that he is faithful to his promise. He made promises. He makes an oath, and he can't swear by anyone greater than him because he is the greatest. Mm-hmm. So he swears by himself.
Amen.
He makes an oath, and he makes a promise. And it says in the word that God cannot lie.
That's right.
It is impossible for God to lie. And even better, it says in the word, we are heirs of the promise. We are heirs, and we are co-heirs with Christ. He has purchased a title of the promises of our inheritance, and we have that in Christ. And these promises, all his promises, including, again, Jesus returning. Jesus returning for a holy bride. Okay? Jesus coming to set up and establish his everlasting kingdom, and we are going to be with him forever. We are going to reign forever, and you can read about that in Revelation 21 and 22. If you're ever discouraged, you need to read that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now I just want to spend a bit of time on the next few verses. So I'm going to start off and I'm going to read them. I'm reading from the NASB. Okay, so verse 18 starts off, so that by two unchangeable things, God's promise and
chapter.
Okay.
Chapter.
Hebrews 6, 18 to 20.
Thank you.
Okay. So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Praise the Lord. So in here, God has made a promise. And again, to all his promises are yes and amen. Okay? We declared it in song, and it says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, in the Word. And he's made an oath, like I said. He swore by himself, and it's impossible for God to lie. We, the Church of Jesus Christ, who have taken refuge, who have been called, who have been chosen, who've been set apart, who are in Christ, who decided to follow Jesus, we are strongly encouraged to take hold of the hope set before us. Mm-hmm. Take hold of the hope set before us. The hope set before us. Our future glory. Mm-hmm. Our inheritance. Who is that? Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus. Jesus. Our hope, our inheritance. Take hold of it. Now I looked up a few of the words that stood out in and this is verse 18. And take hold means to hold fast. It means to not discard or let go. Not discard or let go. to keep carefully and faithfully. So we are strongly encouraged to hold on, hold fast, not discard or let go, to keep carefully and faithfully Christ and who he is and his promises. Mm-hmm. Now, in the prayer I mentioned, but I'll just highlight that hope, that word hope. Hope generally means an expectation, a trust, and a confidence. Okay, but biblical hope, because, you know, in the world, okay, I'm putting my trust in my paycheck, or my reputation, or this person, or that person, or whatever, there's a gazillion things that we can put our hope and trust and confidence in, but that is not biblical hope, okay? Biblical hope is in Christ alone, okay? It rests on God's promises, particularly those pertaining to Christ's return, okay? And we need to hold fast and hold on, okay, to Christ, to his promises, especially that he's returning. And we need to do it to the very end. Mm-hmm. And we can do it to the very end. Why? Because God is able.
Yep.
Amen.
God is with us. And this, and set, you know, set before us. And I looked that up, and it means to be set before. It means really, in a sentence, I am set. We are set. We are put before, meaning we're already there. Okay, I was like, whoa, that's amazing. Okay, because I was like, okay, everything has to line up with the word, right?
Yeah.
Well, it says it where? It says it, well, probably many places, but the one that came to my mind was Ephesians 2:6. Right? Where it says, talking about us in Christ, that he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ. Mm-hmm. And positionally, that's where we are right now. Okay. Now, when Christ returns and comes to establish his everlasting kingdom, we will be with him and reign with him forever. Okay, hopefully your hope is building and your faith is building and you're getting excited. Okay, otherwise, maybe I need to get more excited. I don't know. Okay, so, all right. So when I was studying the word and I was preparing for this, okay, apart from for like a month before, I kept hearing the word anchor. I said, oh, I know where that is. So that's sort of led to this word. I actually was led to look up about anchors. You know, I mean, the Lord uses these things in his word to help us understand what he's saying. You know, I did not know anything about anchors. Now I know more than what I ever need to know and more than what you need to know. I'm just going to be very brief. But, you know, you fishermen or people who have boats, like I thought probably Jim knows about anchors, and maybe Ashley knows about anchors. Well, Mike would know about anchors. Anyways, I'm sure that some of you know about anchors. I didn't know anything, and this is what I found out. So there's the anchor, there's the actual anchor, okay? And then there's something called a road, which is the chain and the rope, okay? That's attached to the anchor. But then it has to be attached somewhere else, right? Like, it's to the boat. It is only secure as both ends, right? Okay, so you know, I look up pictures or something called, it's called a windlass. This is just what I could just figure out, where the chain and the rope on the boat is wound around this windlass. It's wound around this thing, okay, on the boat. To anchor to the boat. And then you think, okay, well, so what's the whole purpose of this? Yes, to make the boat secure so that it's not being going all over the place and being tossed and up and down in the waves. This is my understanding.
Yeah.
So the Lord uses this word in his word, anchor, for me. Okay, so this is so cool. Okay, so, and this is really a picture. Okay.
That's
an angel. So it says here, okay, in verse 19, this hope we have in Christ, hope we have in his promises, hope we have in what he says, hope in what he's already done, okay? This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. Christ. Christ already secured in heaven. He entered through the veil before us, made a way for us, the only way. The only way. The only one who made a way, okay, and made secure and steadfast, okay, our salvation and a way back to the Father, a way to God, right? So an anchor needs to have like a ground. What I learned was it in the natural, it's not so much the anchor, it's the rope in the chain, but it's the ground. So there's the anchor, yeah, and then the rope. So the anchor goes in the veil up in heaven. It's anchored there. It's secure. It's steadfast. Why? Because of what Jesus did. Okay, the ground is the grace of God. That's free but costly. Okay, the cross, the blood of Christ, his finished work on the cross, when he said it's finished. Okay, he made a way. The only way, the only mediation to be reconciled to God, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, he is the one. It's his work in salvation. This is the ground. The grace of God, the finished work of the cross, the work of the Holy Spirit in salvation and in sanctification. And it's sure and it's steadfast. Okay? This is the anchor in the veil. Okay, what Christ has done. Okay, and I'm if you can go to it if you want, but I'm going to read 1 Peter 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So you can just meditate on that. So, okay, so listen. So we've established, okay, this anchor, okay, Christ and everything he's done, the grace of God, the work of the Holy Spirit, steadfast, secured, okay, in heaven for us. It's sure, it's steadfast. Okay, now we, right now, we are in the world. We're not of it. This is not our permanent home. This is not our home. There's another hope, right? There's another truth. We need an anchor. Okay. We need an anchor to keep us sure and steadfast. Okay, it's like, yes, this anchor, okay, everything Jesus did is secure and steadfast in heaven. Okay, but when I described about the anchor, there's the other end attached to the boat. Okay, it does no good if there's an anchor with a rope dangling along, okay, and it's not secure on the other end. It's going to do nothing. That's going to not help the boat. It's not going to help us either, right? And the truth is that we're in this world, right? And we need an anchor to keep us sure and steadfast so that we're not tossed up and down. We're not going to drift away. We're not going to be like what the writer of Hebrews is talking about in the first verses of Hebrews 6. We're not. Okay? And it says that this We have hope as an anchor of the soul. Okay? It's an anchor, this hope. Everything that I've been talking about is the anchor of the soul. Now the soul, as you know, is the mind, the will, and emotion. Okay? And there's many scriptures that I'm not going to go into them all. If you want the notes, and you can, I'll send them to you, because I have all the scriptures and don't have time to read them all, go into them all. Okay? But scriptures that are awesome to hang on to. That we have the mind of Christ. That we've been given a sound mind. We've been given a sound mind in Christ. Okay? So many beautiful scriptures about how it's God who works in us to renew our minds and to show us what His will is. Right? And so much direction in the Word, especially, and I just love David. You know, Psalm 62, for example. Oh, he's emotional. He's emotional. And you read that psalm and you go through it, it's amazing. He prays. He turns to the Lord. He pours out his emotion to the Lord. And then he says, I'm going to put my faith and trust and hope in you. How many times does he do that over and over? Such an amazing example. So many examples of this in the Word. So this is the anchor, the truth in our soul, the anchor of our soul, the truth about who Jesus is, his word, right? And so, you know, you can ask, you can say, so is this anchor that's sure and secure and steadfast in heaven, and is it as secure and steadfast in our souls? Yes, yes, it is. It is, because in verse 9, it says that for you, I am confident that you have better things that accompany salvation. Because of salvation, we have better things. Hope in Christ. Right? Because it says in the Word that we are partakers with Christ. We're part of the house of God. We're part of the family of God. We're His body. We're His bride. And because of this, we can hold fast. Okay? So this isn't I can do it. I can do it in my own strength. I'm going to do it. I'm going to hold on. No. Because of Jesus, because of our salvation, because of what He's done, because we're part of His body, we're His child. Okay? If this is a revelation you have to get in your heart. Right? Because of that, we can hold fast. God has done it. God is at work. God is doing a work in our hearts. He's the one who enables us. He enables us through Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit to do what pleases Him. Okay, I'm just gonna go into a few scriptures because, okay, you say, all right, so where is this in the Word? Okay, but if you look, read the Word and get into the Word and get it into your heart and hold on to it, right? Then you will be able to be secure and steadfast in your soul.
Right. That's right.
Hold on. Hold on. And the rope, the road will be secure on both ends because of Christ, because of God. So Philippians 2:13 is the scripture that I basically just paraphrased, but I'm going to read it from the Word. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. God is at work in you. He is at work in you. He is at work in the Church of Jesus Christ to will to line up our will with His and to work in a way that pleases Him. And what pleases Him? Obedience pleases Him. Okay. Paul understood this as he wrote it in his letters over and over. Obedience pleases God. And again, that scripture, it's like there's an empowering by God, by the Holy Spirit, to have the will to hold on. He enables us. He empowers us to have the will to hold on. To hold on to Christ. To hold on to His promises. Hold on to who He is. To who He is. To hold on to who we are. Till the very end.
Yes.
This is the thing. We're not going to drift away. We're not going to be dull of hearing. We're not. Right? Okay, so then if you just, you want to go to Philippians 3:12. Okay, so this is awesome. Paul says in Philippians 3:12, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect or mature, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Jesus, by Christ Jesus. Jesus laid hold of us. Jesus laid hold of us. And because He laid hold of us, we can take hold, lay hold of Him. And we can press on. And we can persevere. And we can endure. It's like, it says it all over the Word. It's the same thing as, I love God. Why? Because He first loved me.
That's right.
I didn't love Him first. He first loved me. That's why I love Him. Because He first loved me. Right? I can forgive because He forgave me. It's all about Him. It's what He has done and what He's already done. So we can hold on. We can take hold because Christ has taken a hold of us. Jesus says, I think it's in John 15, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I chose you. I called you. I saved you. I love you. I will enable you. I will empower you, says the Lord. Yeah. All over His Word. Mm-hmm. Beautiful truth. And then one more in Philippians 2:12-13. I already read 2:13. I want to read 12 and 13. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. We have to just remember, okay, that the enablement and empowerment from God and God alone doesn't remove our obligation. It enables it. It enables us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It enables us to serve the Lord, to follow Him, to be obedient to Him. It enables us. We have to remember that. Basically, Paul, if I just kind of rephrased it. Since God is working in me, since God is working in you, I can work out my salvation with fear and trembling. Since God is working in you, you can work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Apart from Christ, we can't do anything. So just to close, just want to encourage you, really encourage you to take hold. And what does this look like practically? How do we take hold practically? Be in the Word. Open up your Bible. Meditate on the Word of God. Meditate on it, which means think about it.
Yes.
Think about it. Mm-hmm. Get into it. Go deeper in it. Meditate on His promises. Get to know Jesus. Pursue Him. Get to know Him. Ask Holy Spirit, pray, and ask Holy Spirit to give you a love for His Word, a passion for it. Ask Him to help you to, I don't want to just be a hearer of the Word. I want to be a doer of the Word. I want to act on it. I want to live the Word. Yep. Ask the Lord to help you with that. Focus on Jesus. Mm-hmm. Focus on how much He's done for you, what He's already done to secure your future.
Yeah.
Okay. And the other thing is when we get together, okay, encourage one another. Encourage one another with stories and testimonies and what God has done in you and through you and what He's showing you, the revelations that you got. Encourage each other in that. That's why we need to get together. So I just go here, put your hope in Christ alone. Who He is, what He's done, His promises. He is returning for a holy bride. He will set up His everlasting kingdom. Remember, this is not our home. Remember that He is able. Remember that He has done it. Remember that He is with us so that we won't be dull of hearing. We won't be sluggish. We won't remain in immature. We won't fall away. We're not going to produce thorns and thistles that will burn up. We're going to wait patiently for the return of Jesus. We're going to persevere. We're going to press on. We're going to take hold. And we're going to stand holy and blameless before Jesus when He returns, and we're going to be with Him forever. This is the focus of so many of Paul's prayers. I pray that you will hold on, that you will take hold, that you will pursue Christ and everything that He's done for you, that you will endure and persevere. I pray this. I pray that you will have a passion for Jesus and His Word and desire to not just be a hearer but a doer of the Word. I pray this for you. I pray this for you, that you will hold on to the hope so that you will stand holy and blameless before Christ when He returns and be with Him forever and ever. And everybody says,
Amen. Amen.